Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story and to share your experiences with us. Of course, you can also write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email your audio file if you want to record your story that way and send us the audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. I'm amazed by how many folks spell Tony the incorrect way, even after I've had it in an email. I'm not talking our listeners. I'm just talking like business in general. When I send an email to somebody and I my name's there, and then I get it like replied like okay T O N I or T O N E or whatever. I've seen some weird variations on a very simple name, and I know it's spelled different ways.
But most of the time, if it's an I, it's for a female.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's just if you have no one in your life that's a Tony, you maybe you don't know that, you know, or whatnot.
Could be.
I see that a lot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. So anyhow, Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Try spelling Brewski correctly. That's the next.
How about how many different ways people spell Jennifer?
There's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Although when we were kids, it seemed like nobody, all the Jennifers who always just went by Jenny, and it was all of them in our class were always just with the Y, just Jagan and Y. But now there's like there's a lot of variations on it now.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you choose? I know. I'm asking you to share.
J E N N I F E R.
I know that.
But I have had people misspell it with a G.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I had the weirdest spelling one time. Somebody instead of an F did a PH.
Is that just a bad speller, or do people spell it that way?
I don't know. That's the only time I've ever seen it
done. You could get really creative and start with a G. G-E-N-I-P-H. And just be even more weird about it. R-E.
Mm-hmm.
Not E-R, just because it'll do the same sound. And that's just, it's the French version. The French mangled version of...
But, you know, and then if I just say Jenny, you know, it's mm-hmm. J-E-N-N-Y, but
sure.
People like J-E-N-I, J-E-N-N-I,
mm-hmm.
G-I-N-N-Y.
I think we should just do away with spelling altogether and just stop using written language. I think we should just go to a culture where it's strictly all spoken word. We just drop writing things down altogether. I think it would be a much happier place.
Sure.
855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I just recently started listening to the podcast on iTunes podcast, whatever that's called. And I was really, really interested in it. And I've been listening to it pretty much every day going into back episodes. And I just wanted to share one of the few instances that I've had. I've never been particularly sensitive, but one of my very best friends has always been extremely sensitive to spirits and things of that nature. And we lived together in an apartment in Bayonne, New Jersey for about 3 years. And I remember we were at her housewarming party when she just moved into the apartment. And she had another friend that was fairly sensitive. And this part of the story was told to me after the fact. When she moved in, she felt like there was some sort of presence of some kind. Her friend actually pulled her aside during the party, and she was like, "I don't know if you know this, but I saw a little boy in your bedroom." And the way the apartment was set up was that there was the living room and what became my friend's bedroom. There wasn't a door. She just hung a curtain. It was a light and sound blocking curtain, and when we had friends over, we would pull the curtain aside, and then attached to her room was a tiny little room that was originally a nursery, and she had converted that into a sewing room. And so her friend told her, there is a little boy in your room. And they discussed it, and they both kind of immediately understood, okay, there's a presence of a small boy in the apartment. And so when I moved in, it was always like a very nice atmosphere. It was never like a malicious presence or anything like that. Every now and then I could feel like there was something sort of watching me, more like watching over me than really stalking me in particular. But the one instance that really convinced me, okay, this is a thing, we were talking in her sewing room, my friend and I, and we were talking about the history of the house and how apparently in the town of Bayonne, there was a history of, there was some story of a little boy who had, something had happened to him, he passed away, whatever. And for whatever reason, his spirit had attached to this particular apartment. It was a duplex. It was originally a house. And as we were talking, I could feel this pringly, kind of tingly sensation all along my back as we were talking. And I remember asking my friend, hey, so you can, you're sensitive to these types of things, right? And she was like, yeah, my mother and I used to help people, you know, contact spirits with their loved ones, blah, blah, blah. And I asked her, I was like, so you've seen the little boy around the house, right? And she's like, yeah, here and there. And I was like, do you know where he is now? And she gives me a look, and again, while this is all happening, I feel this very warm, tingling sensation all along my back. And so far what I know about the spirit is that he's really only attached to her room in the sewing room. And so my friend gives me a look, and she's like, if I tell you, are you going to freak out? And I'm like, I kind of have a feeling of what she's already going to say. And I'm like, probably not. Like, just lay it on me. And she's like, he's right behind you. And then as soon as she said that, the feeling vanished almost instantaneously. And it was, that was pretty much enough to convince me that there was something going on. Every now and then I would still feel that like tingly warm sensation. I know that spirits are typically cold, but I felt like it was a little bit too much of a coincidence for it to just be my body reacting weirdly or doing something random. And yeah, so we had that spirit just kind of hanging around our apartment for a while. And what was unfortunate was that he left. We felt that that like warm presence of this, you know, welcoming little boy, we felt that presence leave several times, usually when we had a very troublesome roommate. We figured that he did not want to hang around, you know, these humans that had this bad energy. And one thing that was also peculiar about the apartment was that it was almost always occupied by women, including, you know, me, my roommate, and we always had a third roommate that was usually female. But whenever we had a male roommate or even just like a male friend stay over too many days in a row, just the entire mood, the whole atmosphere of the apartment just became very dark and dreary and just uncomfortable, and to the point where I would need to just be like, you can't stay here another day, you need to go to our guest, because it just, I don't know whether he just, if maybe something had happened to this little boy with a man, I'm not entirely sure, because I don't really know the history of it, but yeah, for whatever reason, male energies and just men in general were not particularly welcome in the apartment, and I don't really know why. But yeah, it was a very, very peculiar time living there. And that's pretty much my story. Unfortunately, I'm not an EPP member, so if you do decide to air this, then maybe put it on the free one so I could hear it, because that would be really, really cool. I love the show, and I plan on keeping listening. So yeah, thanks a bunch. Bye.
Maybe the little boy just wanted to be, quote unquote, the man of the house.
And be protective.
Be protective. It's his turf, and mm-hmm. he didn't like other guys being around, but he also didn't like the tension of a difficult roommate.
I could see that. I could see that. My question about and something we, you know, you hear quite a bit, where it's like, I felt this cold presence, and that is true. Quite often we hear about ghost interactions being cold. Mm-hmm. If you're the ghost, are you also cold perpetually? Or is it just what you give off?
I think it's just what you give off.
That would suck if, you know, that totally changes my plans for being a ghost if I have to be perpetually cold.
Well, you give off heat and you don't mm-hmm. go around thinking I'm warm all the time.
Sure.
Unless you're outside and you're hot or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's just the temperature that you give off.
It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm still good with being a ghost then.
Yeah.
I
don't think you need to worry about that.
Okay. I will, though, probably, for a while.
Well, make sure you take a starter jacket with you to the other side so you can stay warm.
A starter jacket. People still wear starter jackets? Was that a...
That was gone like 20 years
starter
ago.
Starter jackets, now, those were like team ones, right?
The big puffy sports team ones. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious to get for like Christmas gifts for people. Starter jacket. Just randomly, just to people. Like, Why would you give this person a starter jacket? But you just give it to him. Like,
or how about the jogging suits that had the zip top and the bottom, and it was the swishy material?
I love those. Those are great. I'd still wear those. We yeah. should get matching of those and go for jogs.
And have family pictures done.
That'd be fun. Glamour shots.
Yeah,
that's what we should do with it. Yeah.
Swishy jogging suits.
You know, those were like kind of comfortable, but I couldn't stand the noise.
No, I couldn't either.
It's like, and they're made for like moving mm-hmm. and like exercising. Like, that should be the last material you want to have on when you're exercising. Is that, do people wear those anymore? That's my next question.
I don't think so.
I haven't been to like a workout facility in a couple years, but.
You know, after those were popular, I remember girls would wear not so much the zip jacket, but just the bottom's made out of that material, just all in black.
Sure.
And I don't even see that anymore.
Yeah, kind of went away. It's a shame. Someday, it'll all come back. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Fred. I'm from Vermont, and I got a couple of really quick ones for you. They're nothing ghastly, nothing horrid or no demons or any of that kind of stuff. It's actually kind of simple but real, and it freaked me out when it happened. It was many, many years ago. I was about 15. I was visiting my cousin, the first one here, and this one actually happened to me. And I was at his, they had just moved into a new house, and I was, and they, when they moved into the house, it was, they came from a place where they were in the backwoods, like a back road, and they moved to a house that was right on the major highway. And their dog that they had for many, many years within the first week was hit and killed within a week of moving in. And they went out and got another dog. And this was the, like, 2 weeks after that. And I'm sitting on the bench reading a comic book. And right directly in front of me is the doorway to the room that I was in. And right out the doorway to the left was my cousin Al's room. And my cousin Mike, who was my friend, who we were sharing the same room, he was in the bathroom brushing his teeth, getting ready to go to bed. And I'm reading this comic book, and I noticed something moving in the hallway out of the corner of my eye. So, out of the peripheral vision of my eye. So I pick my head up, and I see plain as day, solid as can be, the last half of a dog going into the room next door. And the first half was blocked by the wall. It was like it had already walked by the door, and I caught the last part of it going into this other room. So I got up. I love dogs. So I got up, and I walked into this room to pet their new dog. And I walk into that room, and there's no dog anywhere. And we're talking, there's no way it could have gone. There's no place it could have gone anywhere without me seeing it. And I asked my cousin when he came back out where their dog was. And he was like, well, no, we have to tie it up. We have to tie him up outside at night because he keeps people awake in the house. And so that's where he is. And so I told him the story. And he said the original dog, the one that was hit when they first moved in, the week he was here, he would go into that room every night and sleep under Al's bed. That's what he did. So there you go. That's my only real experience with ghost stories. The other one was just something my mom told me. It's a story I'll never forget. This was even longer ago. I was probably 6 or 7 at the time, but my mom's mother was very sick, and my parents owned a bakery. And they knew she didn't have long to live. And Mom wanted to be with her that Friday night, but she couldn't. My dad was in the hospital, so she had to run the bakery. And so we were going to go down early Saturday morning just so that she could be with my grandmother, her mother. So she goes to bed Friday night, planning on getting us up all early Saturday morning and rushing down to Manchester, which was a couple hours away. And in the middle of the night, she has a dream. And in the dream, or she thought it was a dream anyway, in the dream, her mother comes to her at the foot of the bed, tells her that she loves her, and says goodbye. And she said she noticed the clock, and the clock said like 2:35 a.m. And then she went back to sleep in her dream, or so she thought. It was a dream anyway. It was one of those ones that like seemed so real. And then she woke up the next morning. She's getting us ready to go, and the phone rings. And it's my aunt, my mother's sister. And she's like, you don't have to worry. You don't have to hurry to come down. Take your time. Mom passed away last night at 2:30. So there you go. That was my second story. Again, nothing harrowing, nothing evil or scary or anything really. Just a little weird, but also, in a way, a little reassuring that maybe when we pass, we don't necessarily say goodbye. Or we can say goodbye or whatever, but there's still some communication there. But anyway, there you go. And I love your show. And if I hear my story, great. If not, I still enjoy the show. Bye-bye.
I think when, science is able to prove the existence of ghosts someday, it's going to be stories like that where those are the ones. It's not going to be the scary ones. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the matter-of-fact, this happened stories that are going to probably convince people the most.
You think we'll ever live in a world where it's like, okay, this is part of it, something we don't understand right now, and back in those days they had shows about it and nobody understood it, but now we get it?
I have no idea.
Maybe not in our lifetime, but
yeah.
Then they'll go back and listen to our stories. and try and figure it out. Interesting stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Casey from the Central Valley in California. This is my first time calling in, although I've been listening to your show, which is amazing, by the way, for a few years now. I suffer from a little bit of stage fright, and I'm a little bit of a shy person, so that's why I've delayed. I know I can always write in. That takes time, and I have a 4-year-old, so you can imagine. You guys have kids. So, anyways, what happened to me a few times is something unique that I haven't really heard on your show before, so I'm looking for some insight, what you guys think it might be, what your listeners think. So here it is. Twice, I've heard sounds like a female voice, gentle, and yet it's giving me a heads up, like a warning when I'm driving or while I'm at work so I don't get into trouble. Here's what happened. So the first time I heard this voice, I was driving up to a red light, and it was early in the morning on my way to work, and didn't have any makeup on, so I got all my makeup out and started doing my eye makeup with the visor down, and I heard this voice come through. It was pretty loud, and I was blasting music, so it said, "Kelly, be careful." And I'm like, "What? Be careful of what? I'm just sitting here." And with that, I look in my rear view, and there's a police officer parked behind me at this red light, just staring at me, but it was more like a glare. And I thought, oops, because if I hadn't heard that voice, I probably would have continued putting makeup on when a green light was about to turn, and that happened. The light changed to green, so I turned my music down, put my visor up, and proceeded. So that was kind of funny. Something warning me about that. I don't need to get pulled over for distracted driving. Believe me, that would not be good. So at any rate, I had another experience where the same type of voice and same sort of heads up came through while I was working at a call center. And I worked for the same corporation for 16 years, and 10 years of that was call center, so kind of a strict environment where we had, before this happened, before I heard a little bit of a warning, we had received an email saying we need to manage our availability when dealing with phone calls. Like, if we weren't taking a phone call, we have to go into a certain mode, either after call for noting an account if we were hung up on or something like that, or any special circumstances regarding the account, or auxiliary mode, which means we're headed to the water fountain or a restroom break, that sort of thing. So it was basically letting us know that if we didn't manage that, we would be written up in some way, shape, or form. So I was working pretty late one night by myself. I was on the help desk as a senior service representative, supporting escalated calls and also any of the customer service reps that needed help with gen ref or some verbiage on how to handle, you know, a possible escalation. So anyways, I needed to use the facilities. So after the call I was on, I clicked a button to not receive any further calls so I could take a quick break. And as I was halfway down the hallway, I heard the same voice that warned me when I was in my car. It said, "Kelly, don't forget." And I was startled because it was pretty loud again, and no one was around. I know I was by myself. I did kind of look around me real quick and looked over a cubicle wall or two, and no one was there. And then I thought, oops, did I forget to click the right button? So I almost half ran back to my workstation and checked the console, and sure enough, I was in the wrong mode. I wasn't going to receive any phone calls, but I was an after call, which was not meant for any type of break. It's really account work. So I clicked the right button and then went about my business. So it doesn't creep me out, and it's not an eerie voice or anything like that. It's kind of nice, actually. It just, you know, to have a heads up and not get in trouble for random things. I don't know if it's my higher self or a spirit guide or a guardian of some sort, but it's been pretty awesome to have those two experiences. I'm just really wondering if anyone has had something similar happen to them. I am what you guys would call sensitive. I've been this way since I was about 3 years old and I had a near-death experience. I won't get into that right now. I can call in with that another time. That was an experience in itself, so something definitely I would like to share. So I'll let you guys go at this point, but thumbs up on doing such a great job. I really have fun listening to you guys. The banter, really fun, and just your platform is so welcoming, and it's comforting knowing that I'm not singled out really for being the only one experiencing creepy shit once in a while. So anyways, take care, and I'll write in again soon. Thank you again.
I think we have a lot of stories where there's a voice that catches your attention before something happens, but it's usually more like you're about to be in a real bad car accident, mm-hmm. or something, you know, you're about to get hit by a truck. It's not usually the, hey, this is a helpful little voice. You don't want to get in trouble doing that.
Exactly.
So it makes me wonder, is that voice going to be there when, and hopefully this isn't something she has to find out.
Sure.
But if something, you know, potentially bad, like, you know.
Like a semi's coming at you.
Right. I mean, is the voice going to be there, or is it just for just not getting
mediocre
into trouble? And I just kind of wonder. I mean, I'd like to assume that it's going to be there for all of the above.
Does it have to be paying attention to everything around as well, or can it slip up as well and be like, oh, I missed that. Shoot, I should have warned them, but I didn't see it. You know, like when you're driving, you know, and you have a passenger with you. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, look out, you know, because the driver didn't see the car that's coming, you know.
Sure.
You know, like that sort of thing. But that's also, you know, the luck of the draw if the passenger is aware as well.
Right.
You know, can ghosts be in that situation as well where they're your lookout, but they're maybe distracted by something at the moment?
I would assume that you don't have a whole lot to do on the other side other than watch out for that person that you're supposed to be watching out for.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hopefully she doesn't have to find out if it's there for the big stuff. But it's nice that it's there for the little stuff.
It is. It is. Thank you for that story and calling in. We appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Briskies. I have a pretty quick story that I want to share because it relates to a lot of your callers. I was an 80s kid, so I didn't have a lot of exposure to other people talking about paranormal stuff. And I didn't have any kind of, like, warnings about using the Ouija board. But I did use the Ouija board a lot as a child. And I find out now how some of the things I was experiencing are really common. Like, I got really hooked on using it. I would use it alone in my bedroom. You know, in the 80s, we didn't have TV shows about paranormal stuff. Anyway, so after I started using the Ouija board, a lot of stuff started happening around my house. I would walk through my bedroom and I would feel a gust of wind blow past me. Furniture would move in front of doorways so we couldn't open doors to get into rooms, heavy pieces of furniture. Other times I just got really uncomfortable feelings throughout my house, especially down in the basement, you know, all the standard stuff. I would wake up in the morning and my porcelain dolls would be turned towards me, looking over me. When I went to bed faced forward, I'd wake up and they would all be facing down to me. So basement, porcelain dolls, Ouija boards, all the crazy stuff. And it just got worse and worse. I always felt somebody watching me. And then one night, my mom was sleeping in my bedroom with me, and it was storming outside. And I had the window open to listen to the rain, I guess, when I was falling asleep. I woke up in the middle of the night, and the window was open, but I woke up to something. It sounded like it was right at my screen, at my window. And I couldn't see anything. I looked out, but it was going, like, it was right at the screen of my window, making this horrible, scary sound. I was thinking, maybe whatever it is, if it's an animal, it has to be right down there in my yard, and it has to be a big animal, because it sounded like a human whisper, exactly the sound I just made, right at my screen, but I couldn't see anything. I tried to wake my mom up. She didn't wake up. I slammed the window shut and shut the windows, and it stopped. And somehow I went back to bed. And then another time I fell asleep in the middle of the night and woke up with a start, like really something just jumped me right out of bed. I could have hurt myself. I jumped out of bed so fast. And I stood up and I ran into the hallway outside of my room, and there was a mirror on the wall. And the mirror was reflecting a clock in my bedroom, and it was 3:32 in the morning. But when that reflected in the mirror that I happened to jump out of bed and for some reason walk straight up to, it reflected the word C-S-E-E in the mirror. That was another scary thing. So I think a while after you live in these situations where you're feeling gusts of wind and you feel like somebody's watching you, you're having all this scary stuff happen, especially I was, you know, pretty young. I was under, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 years old. It was just a lot of stress being scared all the time and having all of these things happen to me. So one day something in my gut just made me start screaming, "Get out. I'm not scared of you. I won't be scared of you. Leave me alone. I'm not going to be scared." And I just started screaming this, in my bedroom. And after that, everything cleared out. So, that's when I hear these stories and when I see these things on TV, I truly believe them because I've experienced them before. When other people that I don't know on TV somewhere can tell my story better than I can, I really believe these things did happen and it was something out there. But I was able to get rid of it by standing up for myself. Anyway, that's my little story. Thanks. Bye.
What is that where it seems that standing up to these things or showing confidence or something is what can sometimes flip the switch?
Yeah, I think it's just like with a person that's alive, you know? They're going to annoy you until you tell them to knock that shit off.
If they're respectful.
If they're respectful.
Yeah.
And it just depends on what you're dealing with, whether or not it's going to be respectful of what you're saying.
I think that's what gets confusing sometimes when you have the person who's standing up to whatever is going on and it doesn't stop. And then you run into the split road of, okay, is this something that's darker than I was expecting it to be? Or is it just someone who just doesn't care and they're a ghost as well?
It could be either one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if it's not leaving, it's not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily in her case, it left.
Very true. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. Let's do another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is J-Lo, not the famous actor, singer, blah, blah, blah. That's my actual name. But I'm calling to tell you a story or two quick stories about my son. They happened when he was about 3 and again when he was about 4 and a half. The first one is we live up in Northern California, very close to the cemetery where the Black Dahlia was buried. Also a lot of other famous people. However, this is a place where prior to having children and everything else, when my husband and I weren't even married yet, we would take frequent trips there, bike riding, walking the dog, etc. Anyhow, I'd go there lots of times when I was pregnant, and even after my son was born and he was an only child. This happened shortly after my daughter was born. Actually, it probably was about when my son was 2 and a half, because she wasn't quite 1 yet. We decided to go for a picnic at the cemetery, like I usually do. I'd driven up to one of my favorite spots, but to get there, you have to pass through one of the oldest sections of the cemetery. And as we rounded a bend where some construction was happening and lots of very old graves and just, you know, poorly maintained area was, my son said to me, hey, Mommy, do you see all the people out there waving? And that was a little startling because no one was there. It was pretty early. We hadn't even seen anyone since we entered the cemetery, let alone up there by the older graves. And I asked him, you know, hey, what do you mean people waving? And he said out to me, you know, all the people outside, they're waving to me. And, you know, I replied with a, hey, you know, I know I don't see them, but, you know, I'm sure they're there. And, no, since there seem to be people here, let's not disturb them. And kind of nope the fuck out of there. I didn't let him know how scared or bothered I was. I just kind of noped out of there because I couldn't see them, and I wasn't sure if they were beckoning him or, you know, just kind of waving towards him. Anyhow, the second story is pretty quick and short. My mother died a couple years later, and I had to essentially rush down to deal with everything. It was unexpected and happened very suddenly. And on the day it happened, I had just dropped my son off and got a call and had to rush off and was gone for about a week. And, you know, my son and daughter were pretty young, 4 and a half, 2 and a half, and they didn't really know what was happening. But when I got home, I was looking through old photos and dealing with some stuff, and my son walked up behind me and said, hey, Mommy, who's that lady? And it happened to be pictures of my mother and me from a couple years prior and a bunch of stuff. And I said, oh, yeah, well, that's my mommy. She's, you know, the one who I went to go see. She passed away. And he said, oh, well, she came to see me. And I was puzzled, and I said, oh, what do you mean she came to see you? And he said, yeah, I saw her, and she was in my room, and she looked very sad. And she was standing in the door, and I saw her. And again, you know, since we had that other thing at the graveyard and everything else, I figured, you know, he was probably telling the truth. And I just said, okay, well, you know, thank you for telling me. And he didn't seem scared or bothered about it either time that these things happened. It just seemed interesting enough that, I've been listening to the show for a while, and I figured this would be a nice addition to your calls that you play sometimes. Hopefully it makes it on the show, and if not, oh well, I'm sure it'll give you guys an interesting thing to think about when you listen to it. All right, I hope you guys are well, and thanks for listening. Bye.
I wonder if he had any more experiences as he grew up, or if that was a childhood-only sensitivity.
I don't know. Makes you kind of wonder, because sometimes, you know, with that, depending on how strong it is, it stays, then nor disappear. I mean, it really varies. There's no way of knowing if the child that's sensitive is going to keep that ability.
Yeah.
But Good story. Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. 140-ish by the time you hear this at Ghost Podcast. No, more than that, 160-ish.
Almost 160.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always like stuck at 130-ish. I don't know why in my mind. But we're closer to 160. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, check it out, ghostpodcast.com, to get all of that. $5 a month is all it is. And that goes a long ways to keeping this thing on the air. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.